Good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful day, huh, to get ready for God's holy days coming up. Wow, beautiful. Anybody here know what this is? A pocket Bible, right? I'm going to use it in sermon, but I'll explain it to you later. Just want to keep you guessing. You know, we're so blessed to be here today as we've been preparing for Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, because you see, we're a few that know to do this. We're the ones God has called to open our minds to understand. So we need to count our blessings every day, because God has called us to become first fruits. And to do that, He knew that we needed Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread and all of His holy days. But do you realize how important these days are? These days last 8 days. By the time you take Passover, then you have 7 days of unleavened bread. It's 8 days long, God trying to help us to understand that we need to look at ourselves and put sin out of our lives. So He knows it's so important that we get off to a good beginning. And we keep our lives in line, and then we eat the leavened bread for 7 days to remind us of the sacrifice of His Son. Every time we take a bite into that unleavened bread, we hear this crunch. And you can almost think every time you do that, Christ didn't have any broken bones, but He did what? Have His skin ripped right off His back. And He was so brutally beat, He was unrecognizable. Every time we take a bite of that unleavened bread, which we should do daily, we need to remember what God's Son, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, went through so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins. Because the penalty of sin is death. Which means if it wasn't for this, you and I would have a penalty on us that we die. It's over. Because we've all sinned. When you look at it that way, it makes you think twice when you hear that crunch. And realize that because of that, because of the pain that our Savior Jesus Christ suffered, you and I are still here. Because when we come to Passover, take the unleavened bread, which is the first time we take it that we're supposed to take as far as God says we have to take it. We're saying, yes, we have checked ourselves. We have looked at ourselves. We have tried to do the best we can to clean up our lives. And I know in the last couple weeks, I'm sure we've been doing a lot of cleaning. I know I have. And boy, what you find when you don't expect to. There's little things back in the corner, you know, which reminds us of the sins that we have to bring out sometimes, find from ourselves, because that's why we're to look at ourselves. So we can truly cleanse ourselves as much as we can, and then we must ask God to forgive us of the sins we don't even know about. And He'll bring to light a lot of them as we go through the physical cleaning and the spiritual cleaning of reading God's Word and checking our lives out. And this is a time that you and I have an opportunity to be cleansed once again as we were at baptism. Do you remember how it was when we came out of the water? How you felt? How excited you were? And you knew that God the Father had called you to be a part of His family. And you said, yes, sir, I want to be with you for eternity. I want what you want for me. Happiness, joy, and a great life of serving you and doing whatever you want me to do and serving others. So as we've been cleaning this past few weeks and doing our study, I hope that each of us realize that when we took that baptism, We basically signed up to be a soldier of the living God. We basically said, yes, sir. When I was a soldier years ago, I had a Bible like this when I went into service. They gave me a Bible, a hand Bible. At that time, I had just come into church. Didn't know a whole lot. Had a lot of zeal. Not a whole lot of understanding or wisdom. Because I did some dumb things. And God was merciful to me. Especially being in the service. But I read this little book. It was a green book. A bright green book of all things. It was bright green. And I read it all the time. And I had that book till just a few years ago. It was tattered. It was torn. And my little granddaughter one day, she used to, whenever she came, she would go get that little green book. And she just act like it was hers. So she asked me one day, Poppy, can I have this book? And I said, yeah, you can have the book. You know. But the other day, well, I say the other day, probably a few months ago, I happened to be going through, where was it? Oh, that expensive store. Yeah, I remember. You know, Salvation Army. Oh, I'm sorry. No. That was Lazarus Dice Salvation Army. And here I found this book. And I said, wow, I haven't had this for probably 3 or 4 years now. So I bought it. Inside it says not to be sold, but I paid $1 for it. I started to go, no, just teasing. But it brought back a lot of memories, and I took it home, put on my desk. And one day while going through it, I pulled out and I said, wow, I didn't see that before. There's a little card in here. It says the Soldier's Psalm, Psalm 91. So I read it and thought about it and realized I'd be having a sermon before Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. And I said, that would really work in well. Because anything out of God's Word is wonderful because it's for our good. So if you turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:3. That's 2 Timothy 2:3. This isn't my usual Bible that I use, but it's got large print. So it's getting easier for me to see. Even with this, I went to 1 Timothy. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And that's what God the Father has done with us when he opened our hearts and minds to his truth. We've been enlisted by the living God to be a part of his army. And again, thankfully, God's Son gave his life for you and me. So at baptism, we became soldiers for the living God. As Paul said he was, because these are Paul's words. We are to please our God. We're to become examples of his way of life to fellow man. Everybody that sees us should realize we are not a part of this world of Satan's. Satan's world is evil. It's corruptible in every way. If you don't believe it, which I'm sure you do, because you see things going on every day, there's no respect, There's no love. It's all give me and get. And people get so angry so quick because they're not happy. They can't be happy. If God is not in our lives, we cannot truly have true happiness. Because God's laws are for us to make us have a good life, a happy life, an inspiring life, where you look forward to every day for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you see, we know when he comes again, the battle of fighting this world and Satan, who is behind it all, is over. As Mr. Armstrong used to say, we're going to be able to say, if we see Jesus Christ, whether we're coming back out of the grave or whether we're alive and see Christ coming, we made it. We made it. We fought the good fight. We as a soldier stayed true to our commander-in-chief, who is God the Father. We did as he said, and we reaped the benefits of it, even in this physical life, the protection, the healings, the blessings. And one of the biggest blessings you and I have is that we know at the end, as Mr. Arnold says, we win. All this battles we go through with neighbors, people we don't know, road rage, anything else that may come our way, we can overcome all these things because we love the God who is the God of love. And if we're following his example, we will be people of love. Loving everyone, forgiving everyone, trying to be peacemakers. As it says in the first verses in chapter 5 of Matthew, if we want to be in God's kingdom, these are the traits you and I have to have. And also, in chapter 5 there, in about verse, 12? Let's turn with me to, we'll go to Matthew 5. I'll just read them. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to study these because this is the first sermon that Jesus Christ gave after he went through the temptation of Satan and after he fasted. So he was very close to the Father, and he knew he had to be to resist Satan because Satan is the great deceiver. Everything you look at in chapter 4 where he says something, he quotes Scripture and leaves out just enough that he can make it say what he wants. And then, of course, Christ, being close to God, finished it for him. And then the second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we all need to be comforted. As we must be humble, as it talked about in the first verse we talked about. We have to realize in that first verse how great our God is, and then we have nothing to compare ourselves to. Because we're unworthy to be before him. Because, see, we've all sinned. But thankfully to Jesus Christ, and God asked him to, he gave his life. Because he wants a family, and he wants us to be a part of that family, you and me. He called us to succeed. He didn't call us to quit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That time, just think, you'll be with God the Father in the holy city, Jerusalem, if we finish the race, if we continue to obey and to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Thirst and hunger to do what is right according to God's will. And become more like Him every day in Son Jesus Christ. We have to thirst to do that. It has to be in our mind. It has to be on our mind all the time. Say, I want to do God's will. Because you see, my will usually is not always what God wants. Because you see, the world rubs off on us. The world gets to us because we say, well, I'm tartan. That's not what God does. Look how patient God is with the world. Look what the world has turned from God. And He keeps giving the world a chance, as He did ancient Israel through the many times. He would bless them when they obeyed, and they'd be doing great, and then they get a new king, and they go the other way. And they had to go through some punishment because of it. But every time they obeyed and repented, God blessed them. He protected them in every way, and He'll do that for you and me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I know myself, I need a lot of mercy when I come before God. And especially at Passover. And yet at the same time, thankful that God has set up this holy day and this week of eating unleavened bread to remind us how easy we can sin being in a sinful world. And we must be truly aware of it and realize when we eat that bread, the suffering that God went through watching His only Son be killed, not because He did anything. Christ never committed one sin. He did not deserve one stripe. All He deserved was to be glorified because He did everything right. But He died that you and I could be forgiven. Because we have Him as our intercessor before God when we pray and ask for help. Ask for protection. Ask for His guidance on our daily things that we do. Whether it be at work, whether it be shopping, be on a trip. Ask that He'll be with us and guide us and help us to listen to His Holy Spirit. Because His Holy Spirit is with us. Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure heart is a wonderful thing. And when things are pure from the heart, it's nothing but good. When you have a pure heart towards someone, towards anything, there's nothing bad in that. You're thinking what a fine person you are, what they've done for you, how much fun you've had with them. And give God glory and honor for having brothers and sisters here. Thankful for each and every one of us. Because you see, it is a blessing to be here and to have each other. We're here for each other as brothers and sisters. And to take care of each other. And to help each other. To encourage each other. We would never have known each other. More than likely. I would never have known Charlie France. He's my brother-in-law. But you see, it's been a blessing. Because you see, we're best friends now. And we don't always agree. Of course, he's always wrong, you know. No, not really. Charlie's got a lot of talents. But we have a lot of fun. We kid each other when we do things together. We laugh at each other when we do something wrong. You know, we don't blame each other. Say, why did you do that? Oh, you're so stupid. That was the dumbest. We don't do that. We kid each other some. Saying, now, if you get down and pick up something and going to work, you stand up until I get up because I may need your help. Because you see, we're at that age where the bones crack when you get down and up. But we have to make good of it. Enjoy it, laugh about it, kid about it. But that's what love does. Pure minds do that. And I know we all want pure minds. And we want to be like Christ says here. But you know, in this world, sometimes it's kind of hot. Because you see people taking advantage of you, people cutting you off and driving, people saying things about you that aren't true. And yet, if we have the pure mind, we understand where they're coming from. They don't know. We know. We're the ones that have to keep the pure mind. We're the ones who have to be like Christ. As Christ was this way when he was here on the earth, set an example to each and every one of us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, my wife would tell you probably that I'm not a real good peacemaker. Sometimes. And I really love seeing the attitude of those who are really got these traits, different traits. And some people have more of that trait than others. And it stands out, and you notice it. So do you realize that when we stand out before the world, what a light we are? They say, he's different. Oh, she's different. Why is she different? Why is he different? Or it could be like when we used to go to the feast sites and overcome and said, you people are really nice people, but that crazy religion you have. See, they didn't understand. Because of what they called the crazy religion, which is the calling of God to you and me, opening our hearts and mind and understanding how we should be and how we should react and how blessed we are. That's why we were that way. Because we had changed. Sometimes maybe you need to look back, and I have, and you find out you've changed a whole lot more than you realized. See, we take it for granted because it's a slow process. It's like the baby, you know. First it rolls around, and you do everything for it, and then, you know, then it starts trying to move around, and then it crawls, and you're so happy about that, and then, you know, then it tries to stand, and it falls, and stands, and it falls. Well, that's what we do sometimes. We stand, but we fall sometimes. And that's why God has Passover. Because we are children growing up. And we're continuing to grow. But God never gives up on any of us. Remember that. God never gives up on any of us. And he's always there with a helping hand if we turn and change and repent when we do wrong. So as soldiers of God, we're representing God. Don't you always like to look at a soldier? I love seeing soldiers in their uniforms, and they just look so, plus they're young and they're not fat, and they look so nice in that uniform, you know. Just look commanding to look at. And who are they representing? They're representing their country. Well, our country is God's holy city, Jerusalem, where we're planning on going. We're going to be in God's kingdom, in his holy city. It's the most beautiful thing that anyone has ever seen that's physical. No one's ever seen anything near it. Read in Revelation 21. Find out what all those pearls and different things are that he's got in there. And it golds a street. Golds are full, covered with gold, streets are. And today's gold, we think, wow, man, if I just had so many ounces of gold, I'd be rich. Can you imagine you're going to be walking on that thing, and that's just like pretty, but I'll walk on it. There's things much better. Blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God's going to bring down the holy city out of heaven for you and I to be a part of. Christ told us he's going to make a place for us, remember? And he said, and I will be back. And it's going to be a mansion. It's going to be like something, I'd say, better than anything in this world by far. And that's what you're going to live in. And as everything else, he makes it perfect. As everything God's is perfect. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. If they do it because you're serving God and they get on you and they persecute you, do you realize God says, basically just rejoice and say, that's okay. That's okay. Because see, we know that God is the victor over everything. And we know they just don't understand that someday we'll be helping them. Helping them to understand and have love like God has showed you and me. Do we need to be changing and become more like him who is the God of love? Everything he does is because he loves us. And the best way I can point out to all of us is that when we have children, what do you do for your children? Any good parent, what? Loves them to death. Thinks they're the greatest there is. It makes me think of one time I saw, this lady was bragging about her newborn child, Jerry Seinfeld. And these people walked in and they walked in. Oh, she says, it is a little startling, isn't it? And you go, yeah, yeah. And the next person goes and looked up. Oh, and says, different, isn't it? Oh, yeah, different. She walks out of the room, they're telling how ugly the baby is. See, that's why they were startled, because the baby is so ugly. Now, how many of you think your baby was ugly? That woman thought that baby was beautiful. The five that looked at it, they were shocked. They couldn't believe a baby could be ugly. But only in their eyes. Only in their eyes. So you see, when God looks at you and me, the men are good looking. The women are beautiful. Because they're his. And that's the only one that matters, is what he thinks of us. And he thinks nothing but the best of us. And he is so proud every time you and I do something good. You know how you brag on your children? Boy, they've done this or they've done that. And you know, you sit there and you go, oh, wow, you know, I'm really happy for my child. Well, when he sees us walking the right way and he's able to bless us, he's doing the same thing. And Christ is too, because you see, he gave his life for you and me. And that's why we're still able to be here, because of his sacrifice. Verse 12, it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And after he tells us all this, he warns us to a degree. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Basically, after telling us what we need to do, he's telling us we are to be the salt. In other words, we are to be around and be the example. In other words, they can't get away from us. Salt is so fine, it's everywhere. And someday that's what all of God's children is going to be, is everywhere. But if we don't obey, if we let the world get to us, that's why we've seen people leave. Many people that we've cared for and loved have left. And we who understand and are staying close to God and doing His will. We can't understand why. Why would they leave? But in verse 14, this is why you and I are called. You are the light of the world. The light of the world. And this dark world with all the evil of Satan's, we stand out as the light in darkness. And doesn't light look a lot brighter in darkness? Because you can see it a long way off. If I remember right, I think when I was in the service, they lit a match, and I can't remember if it was a half mile or a mile away at night, and you could see that match. Now that's how much influence we can have on someone far away from us and we don't even realize they know us. But there's a light they may want to work to get to see, why do you have this light? Why don't I have a light? Why is my place dark? Why am I in this darkness and you have this light? Hopefully when people come in and see us and become a part of us, we're shining that light before them and they realize they have found the light. We're part of God's light to the world. Makes us kind of special in a way, doesn't it? Because God has called us, we have grown, and if we keep growing, we'll continue to be that bright light, and maybe it'll get brighter. But the part is, that is our calling, to be a light to this dark world, so that when things do happen, and all the evil things are come upon the world for all the sins they've committed, we're going to be there as first fruits, helping them through their lives in the world tomorrow. As they've seen devastation like no one has ever seen. So we keep going on and on and doing God's will. God smiles and happy with us, smiling about us and talking about my child. As he did Job. This is my, testing. Satan did. Job had a hard time, but he finally come to see what basically was about the only fault it seemed like he had. But when God showed him all he didn't know, whoa, Job says, whoa. I don't even deserve to be before you, basically. And none of us do. If he came here today, we'd be blinded. We'd be blinded. As a human being, we could not take the brightness of the living God. And that same brightness, if you look in Revelation 21, is going to light up the whole city of Jerusalem and it'll never be in darkness. Because that's where the living God will be sitting on his throne. And that's what you and I are being called to be a part of, is a living city of Jerusalem with Jesus Christ and His Son, and we'll be helping mankind understand and be a part of God's kingdom, hopefully. And doing whatever else that He has in mind, which you and I have no idea. Because you see, our mind only does 15 to 18%. So if He gave us a mind of 100%, that'd be at least five times more than we understand today. And you know what? This world thinks they're pretty smart. They think they know a lot. And as God says, all the knowledge we have today, and they know nothing. Because, see, God hasn't opened their mind yet. Because, see, what is known in this world is nothing compared to what you and I are going to learn when God returns. So the soldiers of God, we need to remember that we have to come out of this world. Romans 12:1-2, if you'll turn with me there, please. Romans 12, 1, 2. You've heard this many times. There's nothing new. But you know, we always need to be reminded. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, as a soldier, we're to be totally dedicated to doing God's will. We're to be totally about God's business. And then he says, after this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why we have to study and pray, because we want to do what God wants, the acceptable will of God, because with that you and I grow. You and I grow closer to God. We go closer because we practice and do more like God, think more like God, have the right thoughts, have the right motives. You know, we have an armor that we put on. God says put on his holy armor. You know, at this time, as we're getting ready to go to Passover, it's a time to reflect on our armor. Do we have any? A little tear here, or a little piece missing here, or whatever. Or maybe just something minor. Well, you see, that's what we're to be repairing right now as we prepare for Passover. We're to be taking care of those holes in our armor and repenting of them that we've allowed anything to come in that isn't of God. So as we repair our armor, we can go forth, come out of Passover, armor's complete, we've repented of everything, armor's shipped, we've got it polished, we're walking anew with nothing holding us down, no baggage, with a pure heart. And we keep the 7 days of unleavened bread because he wants us not to forget that there was some holes in our armor. And every time we take that piece of unleavened bread and we hear that crunch, remember who gave his life, that you and I had this opportunity to have our armor fixed, to develop a pure heart, to go on and develop anything that we are lacking that the God the Father wants you and I to have. Because he wants us to walk before him as soldiers of his truth and his way, and as soldiers of love, because he's love. Also in Matthew 24, 12, 13, I won't go there, but in Matthew 24, 12, 13, it's for those who endure to the end. Well, I think there was something I did want to, let me try it. Yeah, I wanted to read verse 12 on top of that. It says, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And see, we've seen that happen. And we certainly don't want to follow that example. We do not want to become like the lawless people. And it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, that's where we want to be. You know the parable of Matthew 25, 1 to 13, about the 12 virgins, or 10 virgins, 12, yeah. 10 virgins. You know, they were called, right? To be there for the bridegroom. But five didn't have their lamps full. And five did. We want to make sure that we're one of the five that have our lamps full. And that's why God gives us a chance every year at Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. 7 days we eat unleavened bread. To realize how much we need to keep sin out of our lives. That it will destroy us if we don't repent of it. And be as others we have seen who have walked away. Because the world has swallowed them up. Because the world looked good to them. I'd hate to think of the many people, the amount of people in Dayton that I have known who are no longer with us, either here in Dayton or anywhere else in the world. And it's a whole lot more than we have in this room today. Probably 5 times to 8 times more. And it's just hard to believe, but some of them who you thought were so converted, some of them were leaders of the church even, but they're gone. They're gone. Because they let their armor get cracks or holes in it and didn't repair them at Passover time. God gives us a chance to get our lives in line again, to check ourselves, to get us ready to continue the fight and to continue to be the example to the world. So let's be sure that we take advantage of the blessing that we have of examining ourselves and realizing how much sin is around us and how much sin we have to put out of our lives. During these 7 days of unleavened bread, when you eat that bread, pause just a second when you hear that crunch, that you can rejoice. And I can rejoice, all of us can rejoice, that Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. Because that's why we're still here. And we come out of Passover, I used to always say, take my notebook and throw it away, all that bad stuff I've done, because God has erased it if I've repented of it. It's a whole new beginning. From what you know to continue to grow. My father-in-law had one favorite scripture he used to say to me all the time. I want you to turn with me to it. It's Revelation 3:10-11. You probably know it by heart. First part says in verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon this whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no man take your crown. God has a crown for you and me. It's waiting. He's wanting us to claim it. That's why we have Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. And it's such an important holy day. It's 7 days long. You have the Passover and then the Days of Unleavened Bread. That's how important it is. The only other 7-day feast we have is in the fall. And that's a very important because it's finishing up God's plan. And that's so we'll understand the picture that God has for you and me and for the whole world. But right now, we're concentrating on the beginning of this feast, when He wants us to make sure we've got ourselves cleaned up and ready to go on as soldiers for Him. In closing, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 90, and we'll read it. At the top of my Bible, it says in Psalm 9, it says, promises of protection. I'd also encourage you to read Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 or 92. Because in 92 it says, a song for the Sabbath day, which is praising God the Father. But in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, he had that protection. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Let's see, buckler, a small shield, it says. And one of the translations says a small shield. That buckler is a small shield. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our salvation is to be with the eternal God. That's what He's called each of us to be a part of. He wants you and me there. Christ has a place for us in the holy city. He's fixing it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be gorgeous. And most of all, the holy God our Father will be the light of the whole city at all times. There will be no darkness there. There will be no darkness. You realize how nice it is when you see sun outside, how it brightens you up, brightens your attitude. Can you imagine being around the Holy One? The rays that will come off of Him, and we'll be a part of it. And we'll be able to see Him and look at Him. Because we'll be able to look at Him then, as physical beings we can. But as spirit beings, we'll be in that wonderful holy city, going about as He wants us to be doing His will at all times. So let's be sure we keep our whole armor looking still as we get ready to go to Passover here tomorrow evening. Looking and seeing if there's anything we've missed. Ask God to show us. Ask us to repent of it. Because we live in this world And we are to come out of it, as he said. And when we come out of this world, we go into the greatest, greatest world there is with God. Because God's bringing his holy city back here. But this world will be cleaned up. You and I have such an opportunity, such a blessing to know God's word now as first fruits. And as we get prepared for tomorrow evening, I pray that all of us will come out of there. This is a very sober time we walk in, because we need to really understand the sacrifice that our Savior and God's Son, Jesus Christ, gave for each of us. When we come out, let's rejoice. But that time tomorrow evening, it's a very sober time. We need to be thinking. We need to be reading. And we need to give God our love, our devotion, and our lives. Because as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to us. Have a great Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread.